Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Absolute chaos as Cody Rhodes finally finishes his story. Cody also reveals the heartfelt gift he received from Triple H after WrestleMania 40. A major free agent signs with WWE and was backstage at WrestleMania, and an AEW star allows their contract to lapse and now becomes a free agent. Hello and welcome to the Solo Monday News. Myself, Andrew Pollard, here at What Culture Wrestling. I hope you're well. I hope you're good. I hope you enjoy WrestleMania Night 2 and all of the wrestling over the weekend. Again, apologies for the slightly raspy voice. I'm getting there, people. I'm getting there. I should also point out that there is the What Went Down from Night 2 of WrestleMania video that Adam Wilborn and Andy H. Murray have already put together elsewhere on this channel. Go and check it out for the full breakdown of what went down on Mania Night 2. But for now, we're going to start with Cody Rhodes, who finally finished his story last night at WrestleMania 40. The story is finished. Well, that one is a fresh story begins, or a fresh chapter begins, as Cody Rhodes defeated Roman Reigns to become the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion in absolutely chaotic fashion. Of course, this match was competed under Bloodline rules, which basically means, meant that there were no rules, and if there were rules, there were ones put in place by the Bloodline. Whatever the Bloodline wanted was going to happen. Now, of course, going into this, there were rumors and fan speculation of everything, I guess, from Roman Reigns retaining, to new Bloodline members appearing, to a Damian Priest cash-in, to a Seth Rollins heel turn, to appearances from Steve Austin and John Cena. And what we got was just utter insanity. One of the most memorable, admittedly, ridiculously overbooked WrestleMania main events of all time. But man, was it fun. It started off, though, all fairly straightforward. It was one-on-one, Roman versus Cody. Then slowly we had kendo sticks come into it, other weapons come into it. They started using each other's finishes on each other at times. And then there was the first instance of interference, which was Jimmy Uso appeared to superkick Cody, I believe it was, and then got ran off though when Jey Uso's music hit. So Jey Uso comes down the ramp, obviously got his entrance music. The crowd went nuts. And the two brothers, the two twins, met on the ramp where Jey speared off the stage Jimmy Uso. The two of them went flying off the stage, a hell of a bump, just absolutely nuts. Then came Solo Sikoa, who gave the Samoan Spike to Cody. That wasn't enough to keep Cody down. There was the Samoan Spike and spear combination, which still wasn't enough to keep Cody down. And at which point it was really cool to see Solo Sikoa just kind of getting really angry at Roman Reigns, almost as in like, can you not just pin this dude? Please, pin him. Which was a nice little like, okay, all those things that the rumors we've heard over the last little while about Solo Sikoa is the next head of the table, the next tribal chief. Then to neutralize Solo Sikoa, John Cena's music hit. Yes, he took out Solo by putting him through the Spanish announce table. But then John Cena was stopped when the final boss's music hit and The Rock came out. Lots of swearing, obviously, because it's The Rock. Lots of F-bombs, lots of censored words. Rock laid out Cena with a rock bottom. And then the Shield's music hit. Yes, the Shield, which people genuinely were thinking like, wait, what? The Shield? As in Dean Ambrose? John Moxley? Has Mox somehow left AEW? Is this a thing? It was Seth Rollins on his own. No Dean Ambrose, no John Moxley. And Rollins came through in the full Shield gear, came through the hard cam side with a steel chair, was about to hit The Rock, but was intercepted by Roman Reigns, who laid him out with a Superman punch. And so it was The Rock then, who's The Rock and Roman get the chance to toy with Cody. There's the Mama Rhodes belt comes out. And we're thinking then, because obviously ahead of time, as mentioned, there'd been rumblings of like, oh my God, is Stone Cold Steve Austin going to turn up to confront The Rock? There was sadly no glass smash. There was no Stone Cold, but there was a gong. Yes, the lights went out. The gong went off. The lights came on. The Undertaker is stood behind The Rock. not dressed very much like The Undertaker, as we remember him from his glory days, but just with like a beanie hat on and a black hoodie. Either way, he gave a choke slam to The Rock. The lights went back out. Most of the people, the bodies had disappeared at that point when the lights came back on. There was the really cool visual of Roman Reigns with Cody Rhodes down in one side of the ring, Seth Rollins down one side of the ring, and the steel chair that Seth had brought into the ring was there in the middle of the mat. And like, Roman picks it up and it's like, who's he going to go for? Is he just going to take out Cody and get the win? Or there's a nice bit of chance there. There's a nice chance there for some, I guess, long-standing revenge on Seth Rollins, because when the Shield broke up the first time, it was Seth Rollins who attacked Roman Reigns from behind with a steel chair, then to his attention to Ambrose. And that is the option that Roman Reigns, the head of the table, the tribal chief, went with, and he hit Seth Rollins with the chair, which then was soon followed by Cody Rhodes in 1, 2, 3 crossroads to get the pinfall victory. It was nuts. It was crazy. As mentioned, it was totally overbooked. It was ridiculous. It was daft, but it was, man, it was entertaining as all hell. It was emotional as well. Samantha Irvin, who I just want to say, as is always the case, just an absolute MVP of WrestleMania weekend, as she is every single week, just so good at her job. But the emotion in her voice, she was choked up making the announcement of the new Undisputed, I think she actually called him the new Undisputed WWE Champion, wasn't it? I don't know if that's going to change the name of that, because officially it's still the Undisputed WWE Universal Champion. But yeah, Samantha Irvin, just so good at what she does, man. So good. And also on the Saturday as well, getting choked up, and that was his Sami Zayn as a new Intercontinental Champion. Michael Cole was emotional. Corey Graves sounded a bit emotional too. We had Mama Rhodes come into the ring. Brandi Rhodes came into the ring. Brody Lee Jr., -1, came into the ring. The rest of the Rhodes family, obviously no Dustin. There was Randy Orton, there was Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, John Cena, Seth Rollins, LA Knight, yeah, Jey Uso. Cody got the microphone, called out Bruce Pritchard and Triple H. It was absolutely nuts. It was absolutely perfect. And it was just absolutely chaotic. It's a blast, man. It was fun. Now, moving on away from the match itself, Cody Rhodes revealed in the post-Mania press conference a very, very, very special heartwarming gift he'd received from Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, and Nick Khan. And now, this was a Rolex watch, which in itself, you know, a Rolex, those things aren't cheap. I certainly haven't got one. I need a pay rise, clearly, at What Culture. I'm going to get a Rolex at some point. My watch just tells the time, nice and simple. None of that fancy stuff where it talks to you or it tells you what messages you've got. Nah, man, I just need the clock. Anyway, away from my old man ramblings about watches, yes, Cody received a Rolex watch from Triple H, from Bruce Pritchard, from Nick Khan, but not just any Rolex watch. Now, Tully, as Cody has told this story before, that there was a Rolex watch that Dusty Rhodes promised him he could have. It was obviously a watch of Dusty's, where Dusty basically said, like, look, if one day in the future, somewhere down the line, you ever win a world title, you can have my Rolex. And it was only when looking for that Rolex, when Dusty Rhodes passed away in, was it 2015? Did he leave us? I think it was. That it was only then that Cody found out that watch had been pawned years prior without telling Cody Rhodes about it. It was sold to pay for Cody and his sister Teal's acting school. So Dusty, unbeknownst to Cody, you know, he said, look, this watch will be yours one day when you win the world title, if you win the world title. But secretly, he'd sold it to help pay for Cody and his sister to go to acting school. Now, without telling Cody, WWE managed to track down that exact same watch, which is pretty darn amazing. Triple H credits Nick Khan and Bruce Pritchard mainly for the two who properly got into the details of this and did the digging work to find the exact watch. So yeah, Cody was surprised with that Rolex when he got backstage. Yeah, it's stuff like that, man. It pulls at the heartstrings. I mean, Cody was very emotional in the press conference, as you'd expect. He's an emotional guy. Most people would be emotional in that moment. And as he put here, the level of investment and responsibility that the company just put in my hands, I hope I can pay it back, pay it forward 100 times over. Yes, it's just brilliant to see.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, while the Bloodline will be rocked by Roman Reigns' loss of the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, could they be in for a little bit of a shakeup? Looks like it could be, because Jacob Fatu has finally signed with the company. Now, initially, it was Fightful Select that reported Fatu told people on Wednesday that he'd signed with WWE, which is why he was pulled from the GCW show he's supposed to do on Saturday. PW Insider adds on top of that that Fatu has 100% signed with WWE, and he was backstage at WrestleMania Night 2. Now, Jacob Fatu, man, he's somebody I've banged on about for years. I will talk to anybody about how great he is. He's just an absolute monster if you're not familiar with him. Ridiculous athleticism, total powerhouse. He just has a really good, like, full-on beast mode that Jacob Fatu does stuff that will just absolutely amaze you, blow your mind for someone of his size, how quick he is. His major work has been MLW, where he's a former world champion, GCW, New Japan he's done stuff for, House of Glory, Defy, been a bunch of places the last few years. Only 31 years of age still. He is a part of the Samoan dynasty. He's been a free agent since leaving MLW at the, was it February? It was somewhere early in the year anyway. It might have been a little bit earlier than February. But yes, Fatu, just like one of the greatest big men currently in the game. Just the man, he's so much fun to watch. Fun is the word of today, because it's good to talk about fun when talking about professional wrestling. It's a fun industry. Let's not get too serious about things. Jacob Fatu is part of the Samoan dynasty. His father, his dad is the Tonga Kid. The Tonga Kid is the twin brother of Rikishi. So that makes Rikishi Jacob Fatu's uncle, which also makes the Usos and Solo Sikoa his cousins. Also means he's related to Roman Reigns, to The Rock, to Yokozuna, to Umaga, to Rosie. You get the picture. Now, interestingly, and this really got my attention as well, Fatu took to X yesterday to post a photo of Bobby Heenan and the Islanders. Now, if you're not familiar with the Islanders, they're a tag team in the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, as it was then, back in the 80s. It was the Tonga Kid, and it was Haku. Now, as mentioned, the Tonga Kid is the father of Jacob Fatu, but Haku is the father of a certain Tama Tonga, a Tama Tonga who is believed to have already signed with WWE after finishing up with New Japan after, 14 years he did there? Finished up with New Japan earlier this year, is believed to already be tied down with WWE, and it's a case of when is Tama Tonga going to debut? So seeing Jacob Fatu post a picture of his father with Tama Tonga's father from back in the day as a tag team, obviously, there's speculation there of like, right, are we going to kind of get this reimagined and revisited by their sons, by, you know, Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga as a team, as part of the Bloodline? I mean, I'd be absolutely for that as a team, man. There's two very talented dudes, which can bring, well, they do bring a lot to the table. Now, Haku and Tama Tonga aren't direct blood relatives of the Samoan dynasty, but they are viewed by the dynasty as family. So, the Bloodline stuff is not over. It's definitely not over for a little while. Let's move on quickly to an AEW matter. An AEW star, in fact, who has let their contract lapse is Matt Hardy. Now, this is a story from Fightful, who say that Matt Hardy is now a free agent after basically letting his AEW deal expire. Previously, it was reported that Matt Hardy's deal ran out in March, but it turns out that wasn't actually the case, kind of. For whatever reason, the star had his AEW deal extended for a few weeks over WrestleMania season. Usually that sort of stuff would happen if, you know, if a wrestler's been injured and the company kind of tacks on the time at the end from, like, say you've been injured for 2 months, they'll, at the end of the contract, they may add another 2 months on because they've not been able to use you. They've not been essentially able to use what they paid for 2 months. That wasn't the case with Matt Hardy. Even after the, awful, the awful concussion at All Out 2020 against Sammy Guevara. That, yeah, even after that, Matt Hardy remained a presence on TV, rightly or wrongly. So there's not a case of, you know, any injury absences tacked on necessarily with Matt. And it's purely speculation on my part, but maybe AEW just got Matt Hardy to sign a new deal for a few weeks just to stop him making any surprise appearances across WrestleMania week, because if he's a free agent, he can just turn up wherever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever. A bit of Shakira there for you. And Matt Hardy has revealed that he's had talks with AEW. He has been offered a new deal by AEW, but he has decided not to sign it. So, yeah, this is certainly something to keep your eye on. I mean, Matt Hardy, could he re-sign with AEW in a, you know, tomorrow, today, in a week's time, a month's time? Absolutely. But could he turn up on WWE Raw tonight? Absolutely. Could he turn up, you know, at the next set of TNA tapings? Absolutely. Well, this is fun. It's fun to see and speculate where these people are going to end up. If you're thinking, though, maybe are we going to get the Hardy Boys on Raw tonight or on SmackDown on Friday or next week or whatever? That won't be happening because Jeff Hardy is still tied down to AEW because he has had time tacked onto his deal due to injuries and to other absences, should we say. Right, let's get things going because my voice is on the way out again. And wrap things up with a few quick questions. Now, let's start with Hector Garcia III. I'm going to try and get through these. Normally, we stick to like three or four questions, but I'm going to try and get through as many as I can, which I've wasted time just by doing this. But yeah, Hector Garcia III's got in touch. Happy Solo Monday. Happy Monday to you, Hector. Simple question. What was your favorite match over WrestleMania weekend? And what star rating would you give that match out of 5 stars? The first one that jumps to mind is Intercontinental title match with Gunther and Sami Zayn. The Night 2 main event was just, like I said, a whole lot of fun. I had so much fun with that. Bayley and EO was great. Rhea and Becky was great. The US title match, I really enjoyed a lot more than I thought it was going to be. It was just great to see two baby faces like, nah, we really don't like this guy. Let's just keep working together regardless and let's just keep beating him up. I enjoyed that a lot more than I thought I would. Drew and Seth was good for what it was. The Night 1 main event obviously jumps out. If I'm going to go with one myself in terms of, I don't know. I think it comes down to the IC title match or the Night 2 main event. The Night 2 main event was, I don't want to sound like I'm just banging on the same thing, but it was just so much fun. So just the anticipation of like, who is going to come out? What is going to happen? Are we going to get Austin? Oh, it's The Undertaker. I think I'm still going to go with Gunther and Sami Zayn as my match of the weekend. As for star ratings, I don't know, man. If you like that match, it's a 5-star match. If you didn't, it's a 1-star match. I don't know. I often get into trouble because I think star ratings are totally redundant. I've got no time for them whatsoever. Like what you like, don't like what you don't like. It's all subjective. Right, let's move over to some other questions. A couple here that are along the same sort of thought process. John's got in touch. I know it's far too early to say. We need to digest and watch it a bit more. But going with your gut and your knowledge, of course, knowledge me. Yeah. Where does this rank in great WrestleManias? On that front as well, Tom Talks Rubbish got in touch. Let's say, where does this WrestleMania rank in the all time for you? Should also point out, go to Tom Talks Rubbish YouTube channel. There was an interview there with myself talking about stuff. It was a fun time with Tom, always is. As for the greatest WrestleManias for me, also on that one as well, Down Under the Mat podcast, Greens from Australia, was this the greatest main event to a WrestleMania ever? Let's finish the story better than the Yes era or the Heist of the Century. For great WrestleManias ever, I mean, it's a tough one. Night one, there was a bit of disappointment on night one. Like I said, the IC title match was great. The opening match, Rhea and Becky was good. The main event was better than I thought it was going to be. But other stuff disappointed. Jade was fantastic. The 6-woman match was fun. But it was just the main one that let me down, really, was the Usos. I just expected a lot more from that match, hoped for a lot more than that match. So night one wasn't necessarily an all-timer. Night two, a big improvement, I thought. So, I mean, again, it comes down to if you like it and you think it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time, great. If you think it's absolute trash, all right, it's not for you. Find something else. Find another WrestleMania. And as for the main event, is it the greatest WrestleMania main event ever? It's up there, I guess. Me, one that always jumps out for me because I was a kid at the time and I popped huge. Was the Ultimate Warrior return at WrestleMania 8. The match, Hulk Hogan, Sid Justice, trash. As I learned in later life, the Ultimate Warrior, sadly, was a generally racist, homophobic, xenophobic piece of trash as well. But me as a kid watching that in the moment, as a big Ultimate Warrior fan at the time, was like, oh my God, how is he back? So the end of that always just comes to mind. But of course, Daniel Bryan at this moment, the WrestleMania 30, Seth at 31, the Heist of the Century, as you mentioned. You can't overlook Rock and Austin at 17. Savage Hogan at 5 for the story it told. Just daft, man. Bianca and Sasha at WrestleMania 37 is a big favorite of mine as well. So there are There's lots of great WrestleMania main events, and I've just realized I'm totally covered in the sun there because I've not been looking at my screen. But yeah, apologies for the cross there. But right, let's move on quickly to some other questions. Yestin Williams got in touch. Hey, Yestin, why does AEW want Cheap Heat by showing the Punk Perry video on the upcoming Dynamite? Well, it's, I guess the easy answer is, the simple answer is, it's a ratings ploy. I mean, you know, if you're going to be, we're going to be seeing this footage, as all the reliable sources are saying that, yes, we are going to see the very real footage of CM Punk and Chad Perry's All In altercation. That I'm going to be watching. I'm going to make a point to watch on that one. Definitely, I'll be tuning in. I'll probably live to watch that. It will bring a rating. It will pop a rating for them. To me, I think it's a daft idea. I just think it's, I can't see any positives to dedicate time to someone else who is no longer with the company, who has been such a featured part of WWE in recent weeks, despite his injury. And then the other side of that is you've got someone else who you removed from All Plans, who you're not using, and it's not been used since All In, and is now kicking around in New Japan as part of House of Torture. It will be a ratings jump on Wednesday, but it's just, it's very short term for me. If what CM Punk said is true in that MMA Hour into Vara Hawani, it makes AEW look foolish. If it's not what Punk said, what does it even matter at this point? What do AEW gain from showing that footage? If, you know, say as soon as Jack Perry comes back, CM Punk jumps on him and just starts beating the tar out of him and then gets him in the choke, and Jack Perry's done nothing to instigate that apart from, you know, Cry Me a River. And then what? And what if Tony Khan isn't fearing for his life? And what is the definition of fearing for your life? I don't know. I just think it's a wound that AEW doesn't really need to open again. A box they don't need to open again. The Mexican Sweet Dream has got in touch. A two-part question. Who do you think Cody's first feud will be, and who are you most excited to see feud with Cody? Which also ties in with the question from Gary Blackwood. No Ballard, just Pollard. Indeed, yes. Great morning, and hope you're feeling better. I'm getting there. Thanks for asking, Gary. I appreciate that. As you can tell, my throat's still a little bit funky like a monkey. Who do you think Cody's first defense is against? Who do you want it to be against? Percy, I'd love to see it be Randy Orton. So yeah, tying those questions together. The one I'm really looking forward to, the title defense, the feud, is Randy Orton, because just the history there is so much. There's so much history. And there's a really cool picture of Cody up on Randy and Sammy's shoulders at WrestleMania Night 2. And just like the look Randy is giving to Cody, it's just like the proud father, the proud older brother, like, yeah, man, you deserve this. You've got it. So yeah, I think the Randy one, because you can do the respected baby faces. Randy's the veteran who, you know, he wants his shot. I mentored you. I did this. Help a brother out sort of thing. How about I get a crack at this? Also, you can do the heel turn there with Randy, because Randy's such a great heel. Although he is in that veteran babyface role at the moment, and he's been doing so much good work since he came back from injury. So yes, to answer that part of these questions, Randy Orton is the feud I'm looking forward to the most. As for the first feud for Cody, I was thinking, maybe AJ Styles would be a nice one, but AJ Styles lost at WrestleMania, so it's like, I mean, that isn't the end of the world for plans if you wanted to have AJ and Cody, because let's face it, whoever faces Cody Rhodes first, you need that good opponent who isn't going to win. Basically, they're going to lose. If it's Randy Orton, then I think you save Randy Orton for down the line. Randy Orton could be a SummerSlam. Randy Orton could be a Royal Rumble. Randy Orton could be a WrestleMania opponent. Whereas something like AJ Styles, there's no harm to AJ Styles. If he got beat by Cody Rhodes, you'd have a good match, and you could have it on a Backlash, a Clash at the Castle. It doesn't have to be one of the big pay-per-views. I think I've talked myself back into it. Yeah, despite his loss, I think AJ Styles. A final question here from Doug Cunningham. Greetings from Western Australia. More from Australia. Thanks for sticking with us, guys. I don't know if it's really late or really early over there. I should know this by now. But anyway, do you think we might get a really good Raw after WrestleMania, after the last few years being a disappointment? Any surprises or call-ups coming in? I am looking forward to it. Whether it's a good Raw after Mania or not, it's got me excited and looking forward to it. And I'll probably stay up to watch it live. At what, 1 a.m. here, our time. WrestleMania's done the job of setting the stage for making it exciting of what could happen at Raw. Of course, we could all end disappointed, but I've got faith here in, you know, Paul Levesque. I've got faith. The way WWE program's been going the last few months, the way that there's so many stars, so many people that feel like big deals right now, so many stories are still going on, but also the opportunity now for fresh stories with the ones that have ended at WrestleMania. Again, with the stories. So, I've got full faith tonight. As for call-ups, I don't know. I don't know, really. So there was a time where they said, like, Bron Breakker, but obviously they've gone there. And it's like, well, maybe they can debut Jade Cargill, but they've gone there. Maybe Tiffany Stratton gets a call up, but they've gone there. It's like they've done what they normally do after Mania. They've done it maybe a month or 2 months before Mania. I would have thought maybe Roxanne Perez would have been a shoe-in for me, but then she went and won the NXT Women's Championship at Stand and Deliver. I don't think Lyra Valkyrie is ready yet. She's brilliant in the ring. I think she's fantastic in the ring. But just promo work, character-wise, and there's still a bit of work to be done there. So I don't think she'd be going up if we're looking at call-ups. Carmelo Hayes, that seems like, out of all the people in NXT right now for a call-up in the next week or so, whether that's Raw, whether that's SmackDown, I think Carmelo is the one that jumps out. I think Trick stays down in NXT for a little while. Maybe. I know Adam Wilborn was gutted and disappointed that he didn't win the NXT men's title, but maybe the silver lining is, and I know this is what Wilborn also thought, maybe Tony D and the family end up on the main roster. Hey, forget about it. Who knows? Anyway, with that, I'm going to call time to this because I feel like I've gone on for ages. Apologies to editor Ryan. Apologies to you all for my raspy voice. Hopefully it'll be okay by tomorrow. But yes, this has been the solo Monday news. Myself, Andrew Pollard, here at What Culture Wrestling. There'll be another amazing video around here somewhere floating. Click on it. It'll be great. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.